for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking. Come on over here. I'll headbutt your ass a couple times, if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard wall. This brother. Come on.
Zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's yeah, number one, though? Down. Who's number one?
It's the L.A. Clippers.
Boom! Shut up!
You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
Fuck you.
That just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pisses me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't
for
need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
What is up? Another fucking punch drunk.
Oh my god.
The Falcons
god.
Fucking shit the bed, so I had to bring Tiana. Party's over, folks.
Yeah.
Party's over.
I thought it was going to be, like, maybe we'd be okay if the Saints lost, because I knew they were playing the Packers, and then they beat the Packers.
We're done. We're done. We'll talk about that. A couple things. Go to punchdrunksports.com. Click on the Amazon link and buy whatever you got to buy. I think you can buy guns on there, whatever the fuck you need. But help us, help you, help us, help you, help us. And Caveman Coffee. Use the code punchdrunk, punchdrunksports, I believe, and saves you 10%. They got coffee. I think they have cookies now. They definitely have chocolate. I think Mother's Day is coming up, Arbor Day, whatever the fuck. Just help us, help you, help us. And we're doing some work with Bet's DSI, and they will be back as a sponsor as early as next week. And so feel free to go there and win some money gambling. I think everybody lost money on the Cowboys game. Nobody saw that coming.
I didn't see that coming, but it was a much better game than I anticipated.
At Dallas, I mean, they didn't have they're on their third quarterback. The Redskins were, and
I kind of felt like they should have kept Whedon in at the end. I know that Romo is like Romo, and he wants to play like every down. But I thought Whedon did great. When he
I don't know why.
In.
On like second, you know, they're going to march down the field and try to at least tie the game in overtime. It's second and two.
Yeah.
Why are you throwing the ball?
Yeah.
Run it again. Keep running it. Your quarterback's hurt as fuck.
And you have DeMarco Murray.
I mean, and he's only had like 200 yards in the first.
Yeah.
You know, in regular portion of the game, he had like 187 yards combined, and then you got to throw a fucking pass with a guy who's broken.
I did think it was cool to see Colt McCoy back in Texas. I thought like he maybe felt a little comfortable there, and he had a little extra edge about him, and I think that's because he was in Texas and like his high school coach was there and his parents were there, and like it was kind of cool to see him back in his like old stomping grounds and then killing it against.
Well, he definitely has come across better than Kirk Cousins. And it kind of makes me go like with Gruden, you're like, you rode this Cousins experiment for like 4 weeks and he wasn't performing well at all. And then Colt McCoy comes in and he's looked good for, I think he played a half last week and he played a whole game this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's been decent. He's had he's definitely underthrowing and overthrowing a lot, and then he's also just like not releasing quick enough, I didn't feel like, but that's just, he's just got to get the jitters out. And I think this game definitely gave him some confidence and got the jitters out.
I mean, playing on the road at Dallas against a team that's 6-1 and you know, I mean, that's,
and Dallas needed to win that game to really take over the division. I guess they're still leading the division because Cleveland, who lost, who else is in their division that lost that day?
Eagles, I believe. Did Eagles lose us? I don't even remember. That's the thing about the red zone when I work there.
No, the Eagles won, I think.
So much shit is happening at once that when I leave, it's kind of like a blur. It's kind, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm kind of like, who did they play again? I can't remember any of it.
Yeah.
Until I get home and like watch the ESPN thing. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember specific plays, but I can't remember who's playing who with what.
Who's playing who with what?
I can't. I cannot. Couple announcements regarding the other two members of this show who are generally never here. happy birthday to Sam Tripoli, everybody.
Oh.
Sam Tripoli's birthday today, and that's why he didn't come in. He decided to get his car washed on his birthday.
No, is that true?
Yeah. He was taking his dog for a walk, then he's going to get his car washed, then he's going out to lunch, then he's meeting a bunch of people.
And he just texted me, hey, push the hot chick social media blogger for the website. I don't even really know what that means, but hey, hot chick, leave it to Sam. He takes a hiatus from the Naughty Show, and this all of a sudden we have hot chicks and strippers on our sports podcast. So, and Ari Shaffir, God bless this fucking, I don't want to say kike, but kike. There it is. Tomorrow, he will be taping his one-hour Comedy Central special at the Comedy Store called Home. 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. It's all sold out, so don't even try to get in unless you want to hang out on the porch, get drunk, and probably get laid. So good luck to Ari tomorrow. I talked to him last night. I saw him at the store. And not nervous, but a lot of anxiety. He's got a lot of moving parts in that, so I'm sure it'll go great. I'm sure it'll come across awesome. I'm not sure when that airs. I believe sometime in the December neck of the woods. So please watch that on Comedy Central. Ari doing a whole hour.
I love it.
And he convinced them to do the store.
I love that he can. I love that the store is in more specials now, yep. Which is like classic gritty comedy. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what it really is. That yeah. OR is what it really. I mean, we saw that with Carmichael's Gerard, yeah. a little bit. And then now with Ari, I'm so glad that that place, because for a long time, I mean, pretty much all of Tommy's reign,
mm-hmm.
it's felt, that place has felt like you're on the Titanic after it hit the iceberg and you're like, no, I think we'll still make it to England. I think we're fine here. It's not going to sink. It's just a little bit of water. It's fine.
It's a little chilly.
Right? But now all of a sudden, yeah. you know, it's back, kind of.
It's been back for a little while. I feel like just when they added the Friday night main room show, I felt like, oh, wow, like things must be going well if they're right. like putting the main room on a Friday, because that was always just a Saturday thing. I mean, but, you know, when Don Myrera and them were there, they used to do three shows in the main room a
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
You, a night.
Don tells some of the best stories about yeah. how that place used to be. You know, Bears used to work the lot.
Oh, really?
Which I cannot fathom.
I can't even fathom that.
Don Barris, who's one of my favorite people in the fucking world, has so much road rage. I remember one time he and I were doing the Ice House.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you want me to give you a ride? I'll pick you up. I'm going to go to the Ice House. I'm like, sure, I'll ride with you, Don. So it's like Mary Jane in the front seat and Don and I'm in the back seat. And we're going to Lovitz. Or not Lovitz. We're going to the Ice House to do like a Ice House Chronicle show. Mm-hmm. And the whole way there, he's like freaking out about people cutting him off and everybody's out to get him. And somebody like got in front of him and he got so mad. And we're like on a busy, busy street. He races around, gets in front of them and just stops.
Oh, no.
And it's like people are doing 45, 50 miles an hour. And he's calling him a cunt and he's screaming at him. And Mary Jane's trying to be calm. And I think he's going to kill somebody.
Don't do nothing.
I know.
Don.
And the whole time, I'm in the back seat, and he's losing his shit. Playing on the radio is Stop the Love You Say May Be Your Own. It's like the happiest Jackson 5 music to like the most intense road rage scene I've ever been a part of. So the thought of him parking cars in a lot
right.
in the 80s, late 80s with, like, you know, Kinnison and all these guys. That
Cokeheads.
Everyone's on coke. And Don's, like, doing this, like, and if you've never been in a comedy cocaine! Store, the worst job is working the lot. It's like Tetris with rich people's cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't Doc's great at it.
Doc is.
He's incredible. Yeah. Except for he can't drive a stick. But that is a terrible gig.
Neither can I.
So he. That's not what I heard. So he. we'll tell these stories about back in the day, you used to, every comic would get two drink tickets
uh-huh.
to perform.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And that used to be like currency there. So everyone would just tip Don with drink tickets. So at the end of the day, Don, who doesn't drink, would have like 18 drink tickets that he then could exchange for other things with other people.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, here's 10 drink tickets.
Like,
let me get some weed.
Prison?
Exactly. Could not be a better analogy than that place being a fucking prison. Could not be a better analogy. Another exciting news. We know we lost Renee. We know.
Yeah.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well. Let's
How dare you start without me?
Hey. Hello, people. I know you've been waiting.
That's Mystery Science Theater 5000.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Golden Pony, Tony Hinchcliffe.
Well, hello, hello.
Rise and shine.
I'm here to answer all your questions. Number one in the Punch Drunk Fantasy Football League. 6-2.
Coming off a loss. Coming on, we'll definitely get to that because all three of us are in the league.
It's a tough loss.
Not as tough as mine, but we'll get to that. So we know we lost the Mexican.
Uh-huh.
And our detective 1970s cop TV show.
Wait,
you got the music queued up?
You lost a Mexican? There's 20,000 just outside the door.
Well, we replace him because our show was interrupted. Chunky and the Spick. Ladies and gentlemen, Chunky and the Spick. Yeah.
Is that Chunky and the Spick behind the window?
Now, not unlike...
And here's the new Spick.
Not unlike Three's Company when Chrissy Snow was replaced by her cousin Cindy Snow. We have replaced a Mexican with a Mexican, and please welcome our new sound booth Spick, Frank Castillo, roast battle champion, employee of the Comedy Store.
Finally, Mexicans taking other Mexicans.
Friend
jobs.
Of friends.
Do what we can.
There we go.
Landscaping.
Castillo,
is
how are you, buddy?
Fantastic. Good to be here. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. So Frank will be taking calls. He's kind of learning the ways.
Yeah.
Of the booth.
Learning the landscape of the podcast world, this Mexican.
The fat man's going to show him around. And we got a new Spick to beat up on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I told him, he's like, hey, man, I'd love to help. I'd love, like, we could use you, but you know we love you, but we're going to shit on you. He goes, I'm used to it. That sounds great.
Frankie, are you guys called wetbacks because you're always sweating through your shirts?
We swim over the, you know, yeah. Around. Yeah, yeah, that's
no, the I know the literal reason, oh. But... I'm just wondering if that's also another reason.
That we're lazy.
Sweatbacks.
Yeah, sweatbacks.
She was making what we call in the comedy world a joke, Frank.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, we know
one
why
day
you're
you'll learn to write those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I always called Renee's girlfriend because she was white. I always called her a whiteback.
Hey.
Not the girl that dates a Mexican.
Oh, I thought that's a girl that takes loads on her back.
That's also true. I met a few whitebacks in my day.
One.
Yes, one.
And she broke up with you.
Quickly.
Because of that.
Quickly. Oh, it wasn't because of that.
Jason, stop shooting loads on my back.
Well, stop falling asleep in front of me.
Stop falling asleep on your stomach,
no,
dummy.
No. Stop falling asleep when we're driving. So, what is up, you guys? How are we?
Yep.
How are you two?
Life is
How was
good.
Your show last night? It looked pretty good, Tony.
Awesome,
I watched about a half
man.
Hour of it.
It was awesome. Kirk Fox and Sam Tripoli on Kill Tony, two of my favorite regulars, and they fucking slaughtered. They slaughtered. Tripoli, high energy, just chiming in whenever, doesn't matter who's talking or what's yeah. going on, he's just throwing the
Tripoli
thunder.
Tripoli is the best to me. You know, obviously, I mean, he's literally one of my best friends, and
yeah.
we've been together forever. I feel like we're like common law married almost. Like
yeah.
as soon as gay marriage like became legal, I think Triple and I were common law married when that yeah. when that happened. But he's so funny because he always plans, like when he does stand up, like, here's my set, I'm gonna do this. There's no way it'll stray from this. There's no way it'll go wrong. Mm-hmm. And like 5 minutes into his act, he's into it with somebody in the crowd.
Yeah.
Everything derails.
Yeah.
And when we were in Chicago like a year ago, my mom, you know, would always come and she loves Triple. And she's like, my favorite thing about watching Tripoli is when the train goes off the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she goes, it always happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's telling that to Tripoli. He goes, it doesn't happen that much, but when it does, I'm like, it happens every single time.
My mom got to see Sam one time. We did a show in Pittsburgh.
Did he
together,
hit on her?
And he started the set. He's crushing. He's doing his jokes. I go outside with my buddies. We smoke a joint, smoke a couple cigarettes. I come back in. My mom, who's in the back row of the show, is getting hit on from Sam just directly. Like, look at those monster tits, bro. I want to put something in there. Like,
does your mom have big tits?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Really?
Oh, how do you think I got these fucking guns that I have right there?
That has nothing to do with tits, bro. Nothing to do with tits whatsoever.
I didn't read much science when I was a kid.
Obviously, that's true. Obviously, that's true.
But no, she has monster tits. She had five kids. Her tits look like Chunky and the Spick.
Wow.
One smaller than the other.
One smaller than the other?
And browner than the other.
One's bald and brown, and the other one wears a hat all the time?
Yeah. And has piercings.
Wow, that's hilarious. Yeah, he hit on my mom, too. I think that's a thing that he does.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. I mean, you
He's
know,
never
Sam.
Hit on my mom.
He likes.
Really?
I don't know.
Has he met your mom?
I don't know.
Oh, he would.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, yeah, because he met her at Thanksgiving.
I'm surprised he didn't hit on her. Maybe your dad, because your dad was there. Your dad looks like a kind of guy that would, like, have a gun.
Yeah.
Like that southern kind of guy that's like, yeah. you know, you're polite to him, you're nice, and then all of a sudden he'll be like, you want to go shoot some raccoons? You're like, what? Raccoons? Where are there raccoons? Why do you have a gun? It's
There's
Thanksgiving.
There's a ton of them on Hollywood Boulevard.
That there are. That there are. While we're talking Cowboys, let's go What is that? Artie?
Artie.
All right. Let's see if this is a real person or not. Artie. Artie, what's up?
Hello? Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Oh, hey. How are you?
Hi, Artie. You are
here. Hi, everybody.
Artie works at Disneyland.
Artie, what's up?
I'm a big fan of everyone. I got like a two-part question. What do you guys think about how the Cowboys fans are like totally ready to shit on Tony Romo, but he's like so essential to the team?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't feel like they were ready to they're always ready to shit on anybody like after they lose a game. But when he came back through the tunnel, like people went nuts.
I think a lot of that was just like, thank God he's not injured forever.
Right, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of that of like, oh, because, you know, he had that back surgery. He was down for two commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's a Brandon Whedon. I mean, that guy's 31, he's only been in the NFL for 4 years. He was a 27-year-old quarterback in college.
But watching Tony Romo plead with the medical staff, I mean, it looked like he slept with their wife, and he was like, listen, listen, I can do this. I'm really sorry. Don't worry about it. You know, like,
yeah.
He just looked like he was begging to go in, and I mean, he went in, so.
You know, he's a franchise quarterback. Cowboys fans are a little bit silly. They think they're Yankees fans, but they're not.
They are Yankees fans.
They are, but they don't have the owner that invests in all the best players like the Yankees do.
My ass, they don't. They've been doing that forever.
What?
Oh, man, when Deion Sanders was a free agent, they've always just thrown money at anybody.
That's back when Jerry Jones' other eye was still straight and he could actually see the statistics of people. Like, now he's got one eye looking off another direction, and it's just, you know, they build their own players. DeMarco Murray's doing great. But anyway, you know, my point is that Romo's the kind of guy who isn't, you know, he's not a big game player. Like, oftentimes he'll drop the ball and lose it for them. So, you know, it's just they got to just get their stuff together and either depend on him or not. You know, he's a good-looking franchise quarterback.
He's a nice white quarterback, as we say on this show.
No Romo.
No Romo. But the thing about him is, I think, and Sam and I were talking about this last night, I think he has that same, you know, thing that Peyton Manning has, which is everybody, oh, yeah, he's great, but he can't win the big game. He gets into the playoffs and he totally chokes. And you can't really blame these guys for lack of a defense or all this. I mean, they're the person that got him there, but it's like there's 22 people on that field.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Romo and Manning do have the a history of throwing a stupid interception in a big game, trying to force it and make it happen. So he's always kind of taken the blame for them being 500. But now they're good. It's exactly like you're saying, bro. Now that they're good, everyone's like, hey, man, Romo's the guy. I'm like, he wasn't the guy last year. You were bitching about him last year. You wanted Manziel. Right. All those Cowboys fans wanted Manziel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
9 weeks ago,
he had to be Jerry Jones had to be like restrained from picking Manziel. But
sure.
Like, but I feel like what Cowboys fans forget is that like I feel like there's so many quarterbacks that do that in a big game. Like when you know, I mean, obviously Matt Ryan. Like lots of interceptions get thrown, but the difference is Tony Romo is in the big game, and a lot of times. Like, and he takes the Cowboys to the playoffs almost every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like he's still giving them the opportunity, and they have to give him the opportunity back. And this year their offensive line is great, even though last night he got sacked more than Michael Sam on their practice squad. Yeah. But he's just like...
He got sacked more than Sarah's forehead when she falls asleep around us.
Yeah, around Tebow. Yeah.
Sarah knows a lot better than to fall asleep next to me.
It's the same Romo as ever. It's just he has a good running back this year, finally, and
that changes everything. And a good line. I mean, he already has 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
We're 8 weeks in, this fucking guy's got 1,000 yards.
He's always had plenty of, like, weapons, but I feel like this year they're, like, focused in. And now, like, Dez Bryant and DeMarco, like, they've risen to a leadership position. And so, like, it's like Cam Newton, how he's, like, a better quarterback now that he's, like, taking control of the team and, like, wanting them to succeed. And I feel like that's how they're all acting like a team, finally. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't worry about that loss last night. I think that they just got the wind knocked out of them, and it was a little shocking. And I think they were just as surprised as we are that the Redskins even gave them them a game. I think
what's
they were
worse?
Back.
What's worse? Lakers fans, Cowboys fans, or Yankee fans?
Trojan fans. USC Trojans fans are the worst. But then Lakers is underneath that. Cowboys underneath that. Yankees have a power, they're just the best. I mean, they're running a different thing where they look for the best up and coming players, mix it with some of the current best players. They buy whatever it takes to get there. So it's a little bit hard to compare Yankees to the other ones because the Yankees actually win a lot.
But we're not talking about the franchise. We're talking about the fans.
Right.
Yeah. Who's more annoying?
Fans are the most annoying in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
the Yankees.
Lakers
Yankees.
Fans to me, man. God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing I hate more than the argument of, like, how many championships do you have?
Right.
It's like, dude, well, fuck. It's not 1987 either, right. Fuckhead.
Yeah.
You haven't made the playoffs last year. You're definitely not making the playoffs this year. So why are you talking shit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless we're both getting in your fucking time machine.
Right.
And going back to when AIDS was fucking cool.
Yeah. Those banners that are hanging up above Lakers, all right, forget it.
Yeah.
Staples Center.
I think all of these same fans are, like, fans because the team was good, like, 10, 12 years ago.
Well, yeah.
Like, you're still, like, riding that bandwagon.
Yeah.
And it's just so, I can't take you realistically when you're telling me that a purple team is awesome.
Yeah. It's easy to get on a bandwagon of a good team. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get off because you've now talked so much shit that now you got to stick to your guns. And now you look like a dumb fuck.
And by the way, that's why I dislike USC Trojans fans the most, is because almost none of them went to USC at all or have a sibling that went there or a parent
that's
went
there. That's why I don't like Notre Dame fans.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up right there. You as well in the Midwest. Oh, yeah. But I was born at University of Notre Dame Hospital.
Right. Yeah. Well, when all the Irish and Italians, where I'm from in Youngstown, it's either you are either Buckeyes or you're Irish. There is no other option. If you're a Michigan fan, you're about to get killed in the parking lot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Now you fucked up!
I feel like San Francisco Giants fans are getting there. Like, they're really driving me crazy.
Well, they got weapons.
I mean, they're a good team, and they've been a
good team. No, I mean the fans have weapons.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, they shank people every year. Someone gets fucking prison shanked with a shiv. I'm wearing a Dodgers hat, and I'm watching a baseball game. Why are you stabbing me? Yeah.
What's amazing
about... We lost the game! We didn't even win, and you're stabbing me!
Yeah, what's hilarious to me about the Giants fans is it's an unbelievable mix of, like, shanking thugs and very professional, you know, social media
Silicon
people
Valley.
Like, and doctors. So, like, somebody will get shanked in the stands, and there's a doctor right there to just, like, plug the hole and make it better.
I know. Is there a doctor in the house? Is that 75 people in your row? Raise their hand.
Everybody.
Okay, you're an OBGYN. We don't need you. You, plastic surgeon. No. You're fine.
I specialize in shanks and wounds.
Yeah. We'll take you, sir.
You own Google. Put this online.
I know.
Yeah, it's very weird. And like, because I was just up there this weekend, and it's just like they're so obnoxious and rowdy.
Especially during World Series time.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of like, I feel like it's like year round. I see them down here in San Diego. Will be like. And they, you know, they're everywhere. But I don't remember this many Giants fans like back when like Dusty Baker was the coach.
Right.
You know, like once they started winning World Series, all of a sudden everyone's wearing orange and black, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they were always good, but they weren't, you know, outstanding until like Lincecum got there. And then they were just like super outstanding. But like, he's not even their main guy anymore.
Right.
And he could have three rings. He could have three rings, and he's, like, not even really.
I saw a midget the other day wearing a Giants shirt. I'm like, get
out of here. Did you see that little – I don't even think it was a midget, but that little person at the store last night?
Yeah, man. He's got style,
too. But it was, like, the smallest person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And he had
probably this tall, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah. And he had the confidence of a guy, like, 6'5". I talked to him. He was cool as hell.
I mean, the shoes were like, it looked like a walking Cabbage Patch doll.
I thought,
I'm like, look at that Halloween costume.
I thought Duncan's little hobo came to life for
That's what I thought, too. Someone cast a spell on Duncan's fucking puppet.
Hey, what's up? Good show. I'm like, what the fuck?
I know.
I almost stepped on him.
Yeah, right. I'm like, wow, that thing really can sing.
Oh, my God.
That was the smallest person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Giant cock on him, by the way.
Well, I mean, anything's going to look big compared to that. What if it had like a normal person's cock on like that little ass body?
Yeah. His leg was the size of Sarah's penis.
Damn, that's a big leg.
Yeah. I tell you what.
What's your second part of the question, as we forgot you were even on the line?
Back to the Cowboys. How do you guys think they're going to blow it? What's your prediction?
That's funny that you say that, because Ari and I were talking about that last night. Because Ari's like, his problem with and Ari's a big Cowboys fan, is that they do this to him every year.
Mm-hmm.
They get to, like, you know, 5-2, you know, 4-1, whatever, and then he gets his hopes up, and then they fucking shit the bed, and they wind up being 500. Before this, week two this year, the Cowboys were 142 in and 142 in their last 284 games.
Oh.
They were exactly 500.
Yeah.
For the last, like, whatever that is, decade or whatever the fuck. Yeah. 2 decades. That's crazy talk. That is quintessentially a fucking 500 team.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now they're playing good, but, you know, they're DeMarco Murray injury or Romo injury away from losing 4 or 5 in a row.
Oh, DeMarco goes out. It is over.
Yeah. It's over.
But I think that is another reason that they're contending, is because so many people are hurt across the league. So it's really going to come down to the healthiest team this year.
If you would have told anybody in July, before all the fantasy drafts and all that shit, hey, man, DeMarco Murray is going to be the best running back in football, and he's going to have 1,000 yards by week 8.
Yeah.
I would have belly laughed for a long time.
Yeah.
I would have bet anything
on that. Right.
I would have bet the worst bet in the bag, which is the cum rag. I would have done that no problem. Which Josh Martin absolutely is going to have to do, by the way.
Everything is backwards. The fantasy football this year is just insane. Yeah. I can't believe that shady team that I got has done as good as it has.
Mm-hmm. In this league?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of that is like, I think you have the least amount of points scored against you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like people that have like a lot more points than you that are like doing worse.
Yeah.
A lot of that's just like,
I have the least amount of points scored against me by about 100 points.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
like
lightning striking every week for like 4 straight weeks.
It almost seems like the universe sort of likes me.
So creepy.
It's the universe likes you.
Yeah. You can't get it right.
I got that going for you.
You made Chunks laugh in the
it's not hard to do. You'll get a hang of it. The guy laughs at about everything.
Lord of
I think he's Hammer back there.
Lord of the Ring Pops back there.
Are you a Cowboys fan, Artie?
I'm a Cincinnati fan, actually.
You go. And that's why you get hung up on fuckface. Welcome to Punch Drunk. Bengals aren't bad. But that's what happened to us. Like Ari was saying with us. I've given up on Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. And I'm like, you know what? Party's over. Let's lose all these games. There's no sense in being 6-10 and getting the 18th pick. Let's be fucking 2-14 and get the second pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then first half of this game, we look like we've made all these adjustments. 21-0 against Detroit. Granted, there wasn't Reggie Bush. Granted, Megatron didn't play. But we're still up 21-0. And I'm like, there's no way we can lose this.
Right.
22-21, we lose the fucking game.
Didn't score another point.
Did just enough to get my hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, God damn it. God damn it.
And I feel like what happens, too, with Julio at the end of, like, as soon as Julio gets defeated, he cannot come out of that. Like, he cannot rise above the loss. And he is not the leader yet that we need. Like, he doesn't, like, get everybody like, come on, let's do this.
It's
let's
still Matt Ryan's
this.
Job.
Yeah, but he just, like, gives up. And if he makes that catch, even though it's not a first down, time comes off the clock. He doesn't even make the catch at the end of the game.
I don't know why we threw the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they're like, we'll throw a screen pass to Julio. He won't drop it. He never drops it.
Right.
Which he usually doesn't, but tried running without the ball, tried to force it, and clock stops. You know,
I got up so early to watch that game. I mean, I was
already at work. I was the only person at work watching that goddamn game. But yeah, I'm sitting in a fucking, everybody's like eating breakfast at work and I'm just like, maybe this is one thing that won't fall apart in my life.
You fool!
Yeah, you fool. So, but the thing is, they, at that job, we have the luxury of like rewinding stuff and looking at shit and all this. That kick, if you watch it, they got the snap off before the penalty would have been called.
Yeah.
And technically, we did win that game, and they didn't miss that field goal.
Right.
But they still called that penalty, and I was just like, you got. And it's like, that's what's hilarious about my life, is that he misses this kick. I foolishly am jumping around celebrating, high-fiving people, right. And then there's a flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look up, and then they're re-kicking, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man. You gotta be kidding
just
me.
Just kicking you in the face at the same time. Just like
I'm the guy that falls for the fake scratch-off lottery ticket and thinks my life just changed and I won 50 grand. And I'm crying. And I'm calling my mom. And then I hang up with my mom and then everyone's like, gotcha! And I'm like, oh, again?
Now I have to call my mom.
Again? And I call my mom like, hey, and she goes, don't worry, I sent it to him. I knew.
It's her plan.
Yeah. Oh April God. Fool's. I'm like, it's June.
This is the worst April Fool's ever.
I know. Let's go Towel Boy because he just won a bet against Sam Tripoli, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Towel Boy, congratulations. You and Ari did it.
Yes, we did.
Pretty much what wasn't happened? Really close, was it?
No, we crushed him.
Yeah, you did crush him. They had a bet. Cowboy runs Ari's fantasy in our league, Punch Drunk.
Oh.
He runs Ari's league because Ari is too busy and too important to give a flying shit. We did a segment on here called Ari, name us two players on your team. Couldn't do it.
Wow. Well,
couldn't do it.
Well, thank you, Cowboy, for running the game that you played against me. I really appreciate the victory.
Yeah, you did get lucky that week.
Yeah, super lucky.
He seems
bro.
To do it every week. The universe apparently loves him.
Yeah, super lucky in everything that I do.
See what I'm saying? So now what? You guys had changed the bet because Sam was a little afraid of the original bet was. And imagine that Sam's changing a bet, but the original bet was you had to go up to five random black people and tell them that you love black dick in different fashions, ways, shapes, and forms. And I was, you know, I was. Telling both of them, this is extremely dangerous. And this is going to go down as like one of those world star hip hop things. You know, where those white guys go up to black guys and they just take their phone and then they get knocked the fuck out.
This could turn into five world star hip hop.
Exactly what was going to happen. So then they discussed it and you guys changed the parameters of the bet. Tell me if I'm right about this. You, if you lost, had to wear a shirt that said, I love black dick to your jiu-jitsu class.
Yeah.
And if Sam lost, he has to wear a shirt, which he did. Sam has to wear a shirt at one of his next sets that says, I love black dick on his shirt and can't reference it in any way, shape, and form during his whole set.
Well, he's going to go in with a plan that he can't reference it. I'm sure 2 minutes in when the train comes off the tracks.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, bro, it's because I lost the bet. I know. We'll see how that goes. So I will get a video of that, and I will hopefully people will heckle him about it. I'll get a video of it. Hopefully he does it at one of his, like, main room or OR spots coming up.
Oh, that'd be great in the main room. The classy main room. Everything's
I know. Red especially lacquer. If he gets, like, an early spot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, all, like, families and shit. So I'll get a video of that, and we'll put it up with our...
Families at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, Saturday night.
Families. I know.
Family show.
My daughter's here. What does that mean? Black cock? Dark chickens? Who do you play
this week?
You
want to do a bag of bets, Steve?
Is it me and you this week?
Yeah.
Let's go players.
Players, yeah, I'll do that.
Let's do it right now. Let's set it up right now. Tell me who you want. What? Winner gets... Whoever they want off of the loser's team.
Is that the bag of bet? Oh.
And let's go. Let me see who you got. God, I would. And you got me on a big bye week too. A lot of my guys are gone. A couple of my guys died.
I got my two big receivers died. Are out.
You got two receivers on bye week?
Yeah, both the Packers receivers.
4-4.
Let me see. Oh God. Oof. All right, are you able to look at my team right now?
Yeah.
All right, look at my team and I'll check out yours and I'll tell you who I'm going to jack from you when I beat your monkey ass.
Oh, I know who I'm taking.
Who?
I'm taking Le'Veon Bell.
All right, I'm fine with that. I will take, who's your kicker? I'm kidding. why do you have Ray Rice, bro? What are you, a fucking retard?
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought maybe they might reinstate him.
It's week 9.
It's a 16-week season.
Yeah, that's true. Well, man, you really – how are you winning? You have
no,
shit.
No, I'm getting rid of him this week.
I still can't drop Adrian Peterson.
God, who would I want?
I should, though, right? In my other league, yeah. I have Adrian Peterson, but I just cannot click the wave thing.
You're going to take Le'Veon. I'm either
really?
Going to take
– Yeah.
Jordy Nelson, Macklin, or Charles, and I'll decide later. But one of those three I'll take.
Take Macklin, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards
or
Macklin.
Jamal Charles? Wait, who do they play next week?
Let's see what this fucking guy's done.
Jamal Charles has been good again. He's coming back.
How's the weather in Grand Rapids?
It's about to get shitty.
It is about to get shitty.
What are you, the meteorologist there? I asked you how it is, not how it's going to be. I don't need your 7-day forecast, you moron.
The easiest job in the world, I think, is like a meteorologist in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, all right, we're going to switch to our weatherman, Dave. Dave. Right. And then Dave goes, back to you, Carl. And that's it. All you got to do is wear a suit and be on screen for like 1 second.
Mm. Right. We have Dallas Rains in a place where it never rains.
I know, I know. They all have names like that, too.
Yeah. Storm Johnson.
Larry Cumulonimbus. It's like, you know, like everyone has stage names. They all have like stupid. And Heather Tornado, what's going on in the weather? Nothing. Back to you, Carl.
There might be an earthquake.
All right, Tomboy, that's official, right? Playing for players, you and me this week.
Sounds good.
All right, suck it, buddy. Good luck.
All right, later, man.
Hey, Tomboy. Hey.
Yeah.
Who do you like in the Ohio State game coming up this week?
Did it happen?
He's too good. You got to get you're not here enough to know. There's like 6 or 7 callers that know when it's coming, or they do it to us.
Yeah.
And then we're like, God, that was good. That was fucking good.
Who does Ohio State play this week?
I don't even know.
No.
Are you guys done?
Georgia plays Florida on Saturday.
No, we're not done.
You barely squeaked by Penn State.
Well, yeah. You know, barely squeaked by 110,000 maniacs all dressed in white. It was a fucking coup. Yeah, that's a very, 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 very hard game with 150 years of tradition behind it. I mean, the everything's out the window. Stats and players and how good they are. It's all...
That's what's great about rivalries, too. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what happened with Washington and Dallas.
That's what I love about college football. And yes, big rivalries like Washington-Dallas. You know, shit gets crazy. Everything's off the table in games like that, especially in college.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if you get to see any of that, but I've never really truly seen
one
stadium uniformed like
that. It was incredible. We were in Sam and Kyle Ray and I were and Gabe. Hey, hey, we were. I'll tease it. Remember with the car ride when we were going to San Diego and we were just literally laughing the whole way. That's how it was with me, Tripoli, and Gabe, and I'm in the back seat again, which is, by the way, my stage, apparently. Yeah. And I was shitting on Gabe the whole way because he loves Tripoli so much. Yeah. It's like his idol.
Really? Yeah.
And they're both Armenian, and he's like a mini-me.
Right.
And so he would say something. Anytime he would make a joke or say something and Tripoli would laugh, I'd be like, Dear Diary, it finally happened. I told a joke and Tripoli laughed at it, and I'm having a hard time containing myself. Red Band said I'm funny, but why won't he book me at the Ice House then?
If I had a nickel for every time Gabe told me why won't Red Band book me, I could afford a free cab ride with his dad to the Ice House.
He's so funny. He told me, hey, I need you to help me write. I'm like, all right, you got any jokes? You're like, I need premises. I got jokes about dogs. I got relationships covered. What more do you want? Okay.
I've got relationships covered.
That's a direct quote. Wow. I have relationships. You know, he said to me one time, I'm by him. He calls me and he goes, hey, why don't you go to Starbucks for a little while and let me bang this chick at your place?
Oh, you don't do that.
I'm like, let me see if I have this right. Let me crunch some numbers here.
Let me see if I have a place first.
You want me to leave? You want me to leave, go to Starbucks, spend money, wait there for a while you just make a mess of my place with some whore that you met on Tinder?
Oh, yeah.
No.
So I left for like 3 hours. And
start Armenian splooge everywhere. Ew, it's just yellow and black checkered.
Oh, I didn't let him. Hell no.
No, I know, but like he asked you.
Twice. Two different occasions.
You should start a shit Gabe Says account. Like you have shit Boone Says.
I know. Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God. I never talked to that guy, so I have no idea that he's like that.
No, he's super cool.
Great.
He's awesome.
And he's a really, really... He has some funny fucking jokes.
Yeah.
And he has his own style, very like Mitch Hedberg, very much like Stephen Wright, kind of just like...
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a monster.
Dear
he's going to be great.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he's... You know, he probably has like
he probably maxes out at like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But once he gets like a lot of time, you know, if he can be disciplined enough to keep writing in that voice, he has a very difficult thing, which people don't – usually people have jokes and then you dance around for years and years and years and then you find your voice or how you would present those jokes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has that first.
Yeah.
So then it becomes easy to write in that style.
Yeah.
I mean, he keeps putting a pen to paper, man. He could be really fucking – you know, he's a very unique guy.
If he could only find a place to fuck.
Hey, man, that's the story of most people's lives.
Hey.
Of course we got to do this while we're talking college football.
Yes. Poor guy that won.
Get the banjo music ready. Eric Carter, everybody.
Well, how's it going? It's me, Eric Carter.
Tony, I'm going to beat shit out of you.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you up, Tony.
Why are you in North Dakota now?
I'm working on an oil rig.
Oh, God.
You're working on a what?
An oil rig.
Oil rig. I'm working on oil rig.
He said oil rig.
Well, of course you are.
I prayed that I could get a better job, and then one day I had a dream, and I saw that goat that I buried in the backyard, and it told me, go up to North Dakota and get on an oil
work
rig.
On an oil rig,
that's
Eric.
Why didn't you bury me so deep?
Oh,
what
no.
are you doing on an oil rig other than annoying people with football statistics?
Making money.
That's probably good money, huh, brother?
Yeah, they start you off at 25 an hour and you get per diem and all the benefits and shit.
Right? And 25 an hour in North Dakota is like $1,000 a minute in Los Angeles. You work for 2 hours, you can buy a property and shit.
Yeah. No, not around here you can. It's expensive as hell. Real estate's more than Beverly Hills, but you get free housing.
Nice.
Okay, time out. Free housing is not more expensive. It's less expensive than Beverly Hills.
Ask Google, motherfucker.
What?
Like, I said, ask Google. Like, with the oil boom up here, price is jacked up in Williston.
Ask Google,
ask Google.
If you're buying, like, an oil field, yeah, that's probably pretty expensive.
Well, Tebow, why don't you ask Jeeves what the real answer is? I got the internet. We got a little bit of Wi-Fi here in North Dakota.
So do you, like, work there and live there? Is that how that works? Like, you work on the oil field?
I work on rotation. I work 20 days on and 9 days off.
Damn. Oh,
nice. That's good. That is good money.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
So how long is that?
Is there an opening?
Is that a seasonal? No, I don't work. Is that a seasonal gig?
Y'all millionaires. Y'all past comics at the store. Y'all don't need the money. This is for guys like me.
Oh, millionaires.
Guys like
Hell
me.
Yeah.
It's for guys like me who can't save me.
Tony, I would love to see you on a fucking old rig with those little skinny britches.
Skinny.
Yeah. Bald ass head.
If I came on that oil rig, I'd outman all you North Dakotan tough guys.
Yeah.
Shit. That's not noisy,
I'm sure there's people on the oil rig that take bigger shits than Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you got some manly fuckers out here, but you know. I ain't scared.
I like those guys on oil rigs. They know how to drill.
Does everybody
I've always been a hell of a driller.
I've read that about you.
Does everybody look and sound like you on that oil rig?
You got it from everywhere, man. You got it from Mexico. You got it from all across the country. Central America.
Wow.
Any black people?
That was my next question.
No, you got a few. There's about five.
One could call it.
He knows the number.
I know. There's exactly three.
Would a black guy on an oil rig be considered a rigger?
Good question. Great question.
Great question.
No, I don't know. I can't comment on that.
Are you a rigger lover?
I was just going to say, otherwise.
Right.
Rigger lovers?
I totally thought Eric was going to say, no, he's not. We don't call them riggers. We call them.
Yeah, I know.
He's right into it.
No, I don't use that word.
I never say it. I just scream it into a pillow when I'm angry.
Yeah, Eric doesn't use that word.
Scream it into a pillow when you get nailed by a rigger. Are you doing, like, comedy shows for these guys and stuff?
No, they don't even know I do comedy. I'm just out here to work and make money.
Oh, trust me, nobody knows you do comedy, Eric.
That's not true. I think he's funny.
I think he's funny, too.
Oh, yeah, he's super funny. Just fucking goats of laughter over here.
How's the farm back home and everything? How's the family?
Oh, the family, they're well. They're all right.
You going home for Thanksgiving?
No, I won't be home till, like, because you got the first 3 months, you don't get leave, so I won't be home till January.
Oh, okay.
Do they have, like, prostitutes and stuff that come around the oil riggers and, like, what's up?
No, there's a lot of prostitutes out here, but STD, right? Hey! So I keep my dick in my pants.
Do they have any, like, goat prostitutes for you? Any farm animals that are at a discounted rate?
They're on parade. At the county fair, you just get to go pick one out.
Yeah. That's funny you should ask, Tony, because I had them pay me in carrots last week.
Lettuce.
Oh, yeah. You damn motherfucker.
Yeah. 20 heads of lettuce an hour, that ain't something to scoff at.
I called in to talk about sports, and all you guys ever want to do is talk about the animals that I'm either having sex with or carrying.
All y'all want to talk about is my four-legged ex-girlfriends.
That's more than damn Tony gets.
Oh, how dare you. You burned me on that one.
Where are you zinging the zinger?
He doesn't eat
now
me.
You fucked up! You want to talk college football? What's up?
What's your predictions on the playoffs? You know, we're coming at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I've been heartbroken. Those damn LSU beat my Rebels.
It's tough, man.
Rebels.
I think it's going to be a thing. Like, four teams are going to get in. There's going to be like four bubble teams that people are going to argue like a motherfucker about. I think two SEC teams will get in.
Yeah.
I think there might be an undefeated team that won't get in due to strength of schedule. It's tough to say. I think Mississippi State will get in.
Yeah.
I think Florida State, as long as they don't fuck up, will get in.
I think it's Mississippi State.
Damn, I was wanting Notre Dame to beat them. And I know.
You were. I had to do a naked photo shoot at Tiana's kitchen for you.
I saw that, man. Looking like Burt Reynolds and shit.
It was uncomfortable.
You almost made tea come out of my nose.
It's Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida State, and the Ohio State University.
There's no way
Ohio State gets in.
Ohio State, hell no.
Oh, come on.
No.
If a Big Ten team gets in, I think it'll be Michigan State, but
not if we beat them.
I'm hoping Georgia keeps winning. Like, all we have to do is keep winning, and then, you know.
Y'all only got one loss, don't you?
One loss to South Carolina by an eighth of an inch.
It ain't happening. You got Auburn in 2 weeks. Your season's over.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
Your coach is a natural-born loser. He's a loser. He makes Tony Romo look like George Steinbrenner.
No. He's good. I think he's good. I mean, and the fact that we don't have Gurley and we're still winning.
You guys are playing Gurley.
No. Your coach is a winner for a guy that covers up murders for the last fucking decade of his life.
It's all about winning, baby.
Oh, God.
It's all about winning.
Yeah, well, we're winning. And they used to have shirts at Georgia that said, I'm a girly girl. And now they have, I'm a chubby girl, which I love because Nick Chubb is our new running back. And he's like a freshman sensation. So
that guy's like, I heard a thing last night that he's like 19, right?
Yeah.
He can squat 650 and benches 450. This kid's 19.
Nice. Wow. Nuts. He's a
huge bitch.
And that's just when he's lifting Eric Carter's mom.
Oh,
I'm saying
you
your mom is fat. Am I right, Eric?
No,
you have a hefty mom?
Hell no. You don't talk about my mama, boy.
That's a huge bitch.
You're saying your mom's skinny?
Yeah, I better eat next to that damn goat you talk about.
Lots of good places to bury a body up there.
Any more dead goats or dead animals you've had to send to the other side?
I had to bury two of them since the last time I talked to y'all.
Oh, really?
What's your problem with keeping goats alive on your farm?
Well, the thing
they
is,
can't keep their mouths shut.
No, I had some wild dogs kill one of them, so I had to stick my shepherd on them. So, hopefully everything will be all right. We got a new protector out there for them, but we had coyote problems.
Oh, coyote problems.
Oh, coyote. So coyotes come out and they kill the baby goats?
Yeah, they took one off. Yes, they did.
He's got his own fantasy hillbilly league. The coyotes beat the goats this week.
Aw, that sucks. Goats are awesome. They're one of the best animals to own.
Yeah. Why?
Because of the milk, and they also like help with your vegetation and your gardening.
According
and stuff.
To Eric, they're also one of the best animals to eat out.
Aww.
Yeah, getting a little emotional.
Wait, who do you guys play this weekend, Eric?
Did he do that or do we?
Oh,
nice.
Hung up on us.
Got us. And
nice.
I love the fact that we are
I really
in.
Wanted to know. I
you recognize that stadium, Tony? The new Georgia Dome opening in 2070.
roof spins, right?
Yeah, it closes like a camera lens.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Brian because he's been on the hold for 43 minutes, which is not a record. We one time had a guy for an hour 20, and then we took the call and hung up on him right away. So, Brian, let's take this. Wants to talk a little baseball. Let's do it. Okay. May as well. We'll talk a little baseball right now, then we'll take a break. Brian, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Thanks for being on hold long, man. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all good. I was just asking, what do you guys think? I'm going to game 6 here in a few hours.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool, dude.
Rocking a Death Squad shirt. What do you guys think my chances are in going to game 7?
I think you have a good chance. No, I think you have a good chance.
I do too.
I think now that Kansas City's back home, they're going to be amped up. And you know what Kansas City likes? They like being the underdog. They like being the one that's like behind. And they play better when they're down. So I think you're going to have a great game tonight.
You, if you're wearing a Death Squad shirt, you might be the only person not wearing blue at that place.
Well, I'll have blue on, but I'll have my Death Squad shirt.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, Tony was talking about being at Penn State and how what a hostile environment that place was. This place is going to be rocking.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the game tonight. I'm so excited.
Real quick, before I leave, Steve, how many days has it been?
14, buddy.
For what?
Not drinking.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah, 14.
Yay!
What a perfect way to hang up on me.
Thank you.
I don't believe you, Clint.
Yeah. You're a dead man. And when I see
you,
I'll shoot you up with heroin.
That. Go Royals.
We should start asking Eric that. How many days has it been since you've had a goat?
Man, I lost track at
13. I lost track at 1.
I know.
First, I got to learn to count. And then.
1, 5, elephant. Elemental P.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm on an oil rig.
I know. How many fingers has it been? A, B, C, X, elemental X. Like B.
You said X twice in the first 6 letters, Eric.
Hey, man, that's a southern alphabet. That's how you do it, man. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Sarah Tiana's top 5 sexual experiences.
What?
Hey!
I thought we talked about this.
Not.
You didn't get my facts? Anyways, we'll be back in a minute. Consider it sucked. Spinning around the star we call the sun. It's Punch Drunk Sports. Back with Sarah Tiana, Tony Hinchcliffe, taking calls, talking shit. Welcome back, everybody. We are back. A little bit, I'm going to show Tony and Tiana. If you haven't seen it, go to punchdrunksports.com and you can see the video that we did for the Bag of Bets. If you're watching the show, you get to watch it now. This is it. I lost the goddamn bet last week. I had to do the Playboy spread. There's 2 additional extra photos in the video of me being totally naked. Do you guys have it yet? Let me know whenever you do. No rush on it.
I am definitely
no rush. I think I'm 1-4. I lost the dildo. I lost the golf match. I lost
the dildo? What is that?
I had to wear a dildo on my head for an entire episode.
Oh, okay.
Which is where dildo coin came from. Which a lot of people went for as Halloween last year. That was kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. Nice.
So if you guys do it this year, send us those pics and we'll blast them like we did last year. What else did I lose? I lost another one. Oh, I had to tweet every time I had sex. or every time I came for a week, and I had to tweet how it happened. So you got to see me beat off five times. Okay, so this is the video of me losing the bag of bets. Go to Punch Drunk Sports. You can watch it. We're trying to get people to go to the website. If you're watching live, here it is. This is me losing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first ever Punch Drunk Bag of Bets. If you guys listen to the podcast, you know me and the team made a bet between Notre Dame versus Florida State. I took Florida State.
I unfortunately took Notre Dame.
And no, just straight up, too. I can't believe you agreed to that. Straight up. So basically what's going to happen, they're going to go at it on the field.
5 o'clock today.
5 o'clock today. We're going to record. At the end of every quarter, you're going to get a video recording of us, and we're going to give you how we think it's going. Loser has to do a naked Playboy spread that we're thinking about turning into.
No, we're not thinking about
the 2015 Punch Drunk calendar.
Watch him lose. That bet is all off.
It's game on. Let's do this. Good luck, Chase and Tebow. Prepare to die. Or at least get naked for a calendar. Bye.
Then it gets yanked away from me at the very end.
Fucking Florida State.
Talk about how lucky can you fucking get.
All right, that's the end of the first quarter. It's T, bag of bets. I have Notre Dame, Sam has Florida State. I felt good after that opening drive. They stopped Florida State a couple times, scored, trolled the clock. Then right at the end there, Florida State was like, click, click, click. And now I don't feel that good.
Same thing.
I've got a few poses planned. I have a location ready. I'm very scared.
Squeak into that thing. They need help, though. They need other people to lose.
Okay, halftime. That was wild. A couple turnovers back and forth. I feel a little bit more confident now that it's 17-10. I would have liked to get a touchdown there at the end, but I think we're going to be seeing Sam's big badass tits. God, I hope not, but it's better than my fucking perfect cock.
I'm down a touchdown. I cannot believe this. I'm down a touchdown. What the hell is going on? Winston's raping me, too. Come on! Give it to me! Well, I'm down 7. I can't watch the game anymore right now because I'm at Uma's memorial party. My friend's mother passed away, and they're watching her 80th birthday video.
Hilarious.
I feel like I'm at my funeral because Florida State's down 7. How's this possible? Jesus, this is my neck is horrible.
Have you never seen this
I
podcast?
I cannot lose this bet. This is going to be horrible. I'm going to cry. Oh, God, I lose a friend, now I'm going to lose a bet.
I lose a friend, now I'm going to lose a bet. Look at this guy, always working. God, at the end of this game, too. Right there, I'm like, I actually need to win something in my life. Is it possible? But just brutal.
End of 3, tied up at 24, I think. No one can stop anybody. It's probably going to come down to one turnover. I know you're wondering where my shirt went. Are you doing laundry? Or are you getting ready for tomorrow? Both.
Okay, end of the third quarter. Tied up. Finally, some defenses made some stops. I'm in the car because everybody's watching DVDs. One of the guys from Utah is very territorial of the DVR and won't let me watch the football game, so I have to sit in the car and watch
Sam
and listen to the game.
Leaves a funeral and it's, goes to watch.
Finally, somebody stops somebody. This is too close. Notre Dame should be getting whooped by Florida.
In his car.
This is fucking horrible. I'm too fat to get naked.
I think it would have been more comedy involved had Sam lost. Sam is
a big boy, too. I mean, that would have been like a 15-month calendar.
Oh, that's a pick. That's a hole. That's a hole. Oh, man.
I don't think that call gets made in South Bend.
We go. For the goal.
Get them. Get them.
Oh my god! I don't have to blow a cloud!
Pretty proud to say that that was pretty awesome. It was one of the best college games I maybe have ever seen. I mean, that was just an incredible fucking game. And congrats to both teams. I don't think Notre Dame should be bounced lower. I think they should stay at 5. That was an incredible effort they put up.
You do videos like this, you realize how hard you are to look at.
It's pretty awesome that Punch Drunk was a part of one of the best college football games we've seen in quite a long time. I mean, that game is going to go down there as one of the greats. So, gloves coming off. Fuck! Suck it.
Okay, here we are. I'm at this secret location.
Sarah Tiana's apartment.
I'm going to shoot this video. Credit Sarah Tiana for wardrobe, makeup, as well as motivation. I got here and she had a friend here. It's pretty intimidating. She was supposed to be gone and not have company. My friend Stuart's going to shoot this for me because he was cheering against me, and I told him, if I'm going down, you're going down. So that's how it goes. Congratulations to Tripoli for winning. I'm 1-4 in the bag of bets, I believe. Fuck you, Notre Dame. You can suck it. I mean that. Here we go. Make a photo shoot.
Be sad. I didn't pay that shit off. You know, my buddy Stuart, English Stuart, not Stuart Thompson.
I'd love to take as many pictures as you like. get the shutter speed correct. And if we can get the lighting in, you know, not a contentious form.
He's like going to shoot it. And he's like, don't worry. Tiana has a friend in town. She's going out for a dinner party. I go, perfect. I can come there, we'll bang them out, and I'm out of there. And somehow, I fully believe this was intentional, convinces you and your friend to stay there and he will cook for you.
Yeah.
So I show up to a fucking dinner party. They're all drinking wine, and I'm like, hey, everybody. And I'm like, I don't know her friend. And I'm like, Tiana, you know why I'm here. Yeah, just do it around us. We'll be fine. Yeah. Everyone's taking pictures like the paparazzi. It was the worst.
It was the best.
I just kept procrastinating. Something that should have taken me 20 minutes took me like 2.5 hours. We're watching America's Funniest Home Videos. I'm just killing time. So fuck you, Stuart.
But he made a really good dinner.
He did make a good dinner.
Yeah.
I will admit to that. But I was definitely like, fuck, let's just get this over with.
My friend Josh, who is here from Ohio, he's from Cincinnati. And I grew up with him.
We call that Kentucky.
Yeah.
She used to babysit this kid. And he's like works for NASA or something. Yeah. He's like this super smart guy.
Yeah, wow. He just created like this, it helped design this engine that's like what runs on less power and gas. So it's like a kind of like a hybrid engine for airplanes.
This is Stuart?
No, my friend
Josh.
No,
her friend, yeah.
Who was here visiting. So he's like, you know, he's just like, all right, is this what happens at your house normally? Like, he's like super math guy, you know.
I got there. Tiana had all these outfits already laid on the bed. She's like, well, you could be a fucking Girl Scout here. And yeah. Here's some adorable little panties I'm going to burn when you're done with them. Here's a catcher's mitt.
I did a pretty good job.
You did a great job.
Creating your outfits for you. And
did fantastic.
Washing them all very well after you were done.
I would assume that would have been a big fire. I would assume that would have been a big fire.
Yeah.
Do you care about
the World Series, Tony Hinchcliffe?
You know, it's all right. I just know that the Giants are going to win just from looking at it, just from looking at the screen. And I know that sounds silly, but I can literally tell just from looking at the players. You could tell.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the favorite.
Well,
and they're up. You know, they only have to win one of the next two.
The Royals still have they have too much hope and not enough of that stone cold all business face that the Giants do.
Yeah.
Psychologically, they're already beaten. And I think the Giants will finish. They can finish it tonight completely,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over.
Kansas City has to win both games to win it all.
And the Giants get it. This is a current championship caliber. You know, their most recent one was, I guess it was a little bit ago, 4 or 5 years ago?
No, it was like 2 years ago.
And then they won another one on top of that. Okay. Yeah, it's over.
And
it's over. I think it's done
tonight. What's amazing is that they're winning with a brand new team. I mean, pretty much it's a brand new team. I mean, it's so crazy to me. And I mean, I kind of want them to win just because Tim Hudson used to play for the Braves, and I would love for him to just get a ring, you know, because I feel bad that he couldn't get anywhere with our team. But also, like, the Royals are just like that sweet underdog team, and you like want it for Kansas City more than you want it for the Royals.
Let me say something off record here. Either you smell fantastic or Tony, you're a flaming faggot. I'm gonna assume that's Tony. Tony, you smell great.
What really? What do you smell?
I think it's you.
It might be my perfume.
It's definitely Sarah.
I smell I wear perfume a lot.
I smell like cigarettes and money.
I just hope I really want.
What a cunt.
I smell like cigarettes and money.
I don't smell. I don't smell like anything other than success. That smell is Jeffrey Ross's approval.
You could be smelling that off Sarah, too.
Yeah.
That is true.
That is true. I am kind of, you know.
The Sunday Night World Series game, lowest rating in the history of television World Series games.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know. But could you think that's because they're...
Up against the NFL.
NFL, yeah, it has to be. And...
And
hockey.
I mean, hockey and such a small market of teams. I mean, San Francisco is not the smallest market, but Kansas City is very much so.
Right. Yeah. It is a small market team.
You know, and it wasn't like a deciding game. It wasn't like it was game seven. No one could win the series on that game.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are like, I'll wait till it's like the final game, you know.
Yeah.
I think tonight's game will be big. Do they play tonight and tomorrow or do they skip a day?
Tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, so I think both these games will do good. They're not up against anything.
I really think that Kansas City has a chance to win. Like I said, they just really like being the underdog. They like being the one that like everyone's discounting and they're like, oh, they're through.
Well, you know what the Giants like being? World champions.
Yeah. So everybody likes being world champion. Nobody's like, well, I don't know. I kind of like be second.
I'm cool just being the Chicago Cubs.
The Royals, they're not ready for this.
Well, it's the problem is that the Royals bullpen is the hardest. Like, if you can get ahead in the game early, like, the Giants have to score early. If they don't, they can't beat the bullpen. But the other night, they did for the first time on Saturday night. So that was like... That was amazing. So that's when I think the Royals actually felt for the first time like they weren't Superman.
Right.
And once you get that in your mind, it's difficult to get that out. So hopefully in this day off, they can come back from that because that's
I think they were adorable in their, division runs and going undefeated up until the World Series was unbelievable in the playoffs. And, but, you know. Good night, Irene. They're done.
Think so?
No doubt about it.
I'm definitely pulling for him.
I'd almost bet anything that tonight it's over. I think this is one of those ones where suddenly, you know, it looked like it was going to go seven in the beginning, but...
What's going to happen is if, like, San Francisco goes up, like, 5-0,
yeah.
Everybody that isn't in, like, you know, San Francisco area changes the channel.
Yeah.
5-0 in the fifth inning. Nobody's watching that fucking game.
No.
It's over.
Nobody's watching. Everyone's just like, look, it's fucking and a I small think, wonder rerun. Cool.
And I think that's exactly.
See what Vicky the Robot's up to.
I think something like that is exactly what's going to happen. I think the Royals will. I think I'll make an even more exact prediction. I'll say Giants win by 5, and I say the Royals end up leaving a crazy amount of players on the bases, like somewhere between 7 and 10.
I wish I would have taken a video of that.
There is one. You're looking at it right now.
Oh, yeah.
There is a video of that.
Well,
I have a big announcement to make.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
I have a new crush, and I'm full-blown in love.
Really?
Yep. Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I know.
He was on Conan last night.
So funny.
God, is he fucking funny, charismatic, can take a joke. You know, him and Chris Paul have a new sketch show on Adult Swim.
No.
Called BGCP3TV. And it's pretty funny.
Yeah?
It's pretty funny. And it's, you know, it's just, it's Adult Swim, so it's like little 15-minute, you know, things. But man, is he fucking funny.
Have you ever met Blake?
I have not met him yet.
You should send him your calendar.
Yeah. He might be into it. And you know who's writing it is Neil Brennan.
Yeah.
Who's like best friends with him.
Of course,
and I'm so jealous of that.
Well, I met him once and I asked him to pick me up like 3 times. Two of those times were in a row. Like, I was like, because I just like love being picked. That's always why I like dating the wrestler, because he could just like lift me up and throw me. It makes me feel really lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. Then he was like, "Oh, I can't," you know, and I was like, "Yeah, you're right." Because like, if I'm the reason that you throw out your back and you're out for the season,
right? That everybody's you're upset.
Everything.
You're upset. He's upset. You're like, "I got to lose 5 pounds. I broke an NBA player." And he's like, "Oh, I got to start working out. I can't even lift up a cube chick." He was so funny, and he was talking about how he gets fouled so much. Conan was asking him about how many times he gets fouled, and like what's he going to do to retaliate. And he's like, I never really thought about it, but he's like, it's not my kind of thing. You know, he's like, I would feel bad if I'm like swinging on people. And then he's like, Blake was like, if I was doing it, I would be like, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm so sorry. And I was watching with Sam and Dana, and he had like these skinny pants on. And Dana's like, man, he looks like he's got a fucking big dick. And Sam and I were right there. She's like, I think you guys are both more in love with him than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, you are right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are right.
What would you do to Blake Griffin if you met him?
Whatever he wanted.
Would you ask him if would you ask him if he could lift you over his head?
That's not that something like that is not up to me. It's up to my
he
fucking.
He could definitely lift you a lot easier than he could lift
it's up,
me.
Yeah. He lifts my chest and I just throws me in outer space.
Thanks, Blake Griffin.
You're my favorite. Yeah, whatever he wants, man. It's not up to me. It's up to my fucking husband, Blake Griffin. I'm excited for the Clippers.
Oh wait, that's your husband? Well, at least he'll finally get a ring.
NBA season starting up fresh and early. Here we go.
Ugh.
Lakers are done. I'm excited for that, and I'm excited for the Clippers season. I think Clippers could win the West. The West is going to be extremely competitive. I mean, without question, Cleveland comes out of the East.
Isn't Kevin Durant hurt?
Kevin Durant is hurt.
God.
And that's who the Clippers open with Thursday.
Oh, what a dream that would be. I haven't thought of that yet. If the Clippers and the Cavs. I mean, that I love those are the two. I pretty much am totally over the NBA, except for I love going to Clippers games.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cavs, I mean, are finally coming back. You know, a debacle crap team that I've been forced to root for since I was a kid. And I think this could, of all the years ever, this could possibly be a year where those two could meet up, right?
Yeah. Absolutely could.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody that thinks Cleveland doesn't come out of the East. Chicago could make a run if they stay healthy. I don't see anybody beating Cleveland in 7 games. I mean, with Kevin Love and Irving and LeBron. I mean, LeBron's LeBron, for the love of God.
What about that commercial that he's got right now where he's coming back to Cleveland? Oh my
the
God.
One where he's working out?
Yeah.
The Beats commercial?
Yeah.
That dude is ripped.
Well, he also lost like 20 pounds or something, and he went like on this crazy like homeopathic diet or
he
something.
He looks incredible, other than that like receding hairline.
Yeah, well, I don't care about his hair.
Sorry, Frank. I didn't mean that, Frank. But yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things. By the way, this might be the episode where I
like
seem to come out of the closet. But in that commercial, you see his body, and you're like, God damn.
But it's kind of like gregarious, like the thought that he's, like, rescuing this town, and he's, like, coming back. And then, you know, it's like, I'm coming home, you know, and he's like he's, it's like, all right, enough already.
You're, like, tearing houses down.
Like, you went to Miami for 4 years, asshole. You haven't been there, like, committed to that town.
He's walking by, like, hobos, giving them fucking, here's $1 million. Yeah. Thanks, mister.
I don't know why you would bite $1 million. I don't know.
Ew, that's so dirty.
That's a real $1 million bill. Oh. Hey, kid, buy yourself a licorice whip.
He gives it to TV.
Thanks, Mister.
For the
wow.
$1 million bill trick.
I know. Oh, real. I know. Snoopy's on a $1 million bill.
Snoopy.
Mom, it happened again. Got him.
I don't like the NBA, but I like going to the games. But hockey just started, so I'm like more excited about hockey starting back.
You are a hockey fan.
Yeah. I don't really like the NBA until the playoffs.
No,
like
did.
I like the NCAA tournament. That's
did Aswell make you more of a hockey fan, or were you already a hockey fan?
No, when my friend, I started liking the Flames because I met those players on the Flames, and then Robin got transferred to the Kings, and so then I was like more of a Kings fan.
Mm-hmm.
I would go see the Ducks a lot because I have a friend who works for the Ducks, so he always gave me
Emilio
tickets.
Emilio Estevez?
Yeah, he's the coach. But no, I loved going to the Ducks games because they have a guy that Cam Fowler, Fowler, and I love that they're called the Ducks, and they have a guy named Fowler, and I just thought it was so funny, and I got a Fowler jersey, and I would go to their games. But then when Robin got transferred to the Kings, I was like, okay, now I'm like for real a Kings fan. I would already go to the games every once in a while. I'd never even been to a game. Oh, yeah, I have been to a game with Sarah.
You went to the outside game.
I did go to the outside game. I took Aaron to that.
I'll tell you this. I'm not that big on the NBA. I love any, you know, hockey games live, but I can't really, you know, other than that, that's it. But a huge weekend for professional wrestling this weekend.
Oh.
I almost thought you were going there, but I also thought you could have gone like Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah.
What happened? Well, it's really interesting. One of the best guys, like a technical young, like how Gerard Carmichael got an HBO special, you know what I mean? And there's like that hope and it's cool and mm-hmm. he deserves it. Mm-hmm. There's a guy in the WWE, well, two of them that are crushing right now. My boy Dolph Ziggler, Intercontinental Champion, defended it on Sunday night on pay-per-view Hell in a Cell. He was awesome.
Okay.
How many pay-per-views do they have for the WWE?
12. 12 per year, one a month.
One a month.
Last.
Do you hear that, UFC? One a month. This fucking four a week shit's killing me, man.
Yeah.
Now you fucked up!
But what they did was, is they had one guy, my personal current favorite, named Bray Wyatt, who's sort of the reason why I really got back into wrestling about a year and a half or two ago. And he wasn't on the card at all, but he came out and interrupted the very end of the main event and decimated this main guy with two big finishing moves, let the other guy pin him because it was a no disqualification match, and sort of just owned the night in the end, which is so they're putting him in the big picture.
Well,
now
who was Dolph wrestling?
Dolph was wrestling Anthony Cesaro.
Okay.
Antonio Cesaro, who is one of the strongest men in the world. Uh-huh. Bobbity bye. He's like literally just a fucking iron rock, and they put on a hell of a match. But this Bray Wyatt, he's insane.
I love that guy.
He's sort of like a evil Eric Carter. He's just, you think you want to come down to the oil
rig? He's a great actor.
Oh, he's the best.
He's such a good actor.
He's the best performer out of all of them. And he's also a third generation wrestler. His dad was IRS, Irwin R. Shyster, Mike Rotunda.
I remember him.
And IRS has always been in the business. His dad was Black Jack Bradshaw, who was another version of Eric Carter, like black cowboy hat, sort of just like gunslinger style.
I thought you were going to say he's also Mexican, and his name was INS.
And so this guy, he's sort of like Devil's Rejects, cult leader personality.
Mm-hmm.
And over this past year, he's literally gotten everybody. It makes no sense, but now when he comes out, everybody goes insane. He does a thing where all the lights go out and the audience holds up their cell phones and you just see the lights of everything, and it's the most insane. It's like what you saw at the Penn State Ohio State game the other night where everything's all white. Well, when all the lights are out and everybody in an arena is waving their cell phones slowly like that,
is
honoring a guy as he's entering, well, he's got his cool, you know, semi-quiet music where people also, like, there's a part of the song where people click like that and you can hear it through the arena. It's insane.
I love it. I actually text Nick, my friend, Dolph mm-hmm. Ziggler, and so I was like, who is this, like, goat boy, like, mm-hmm. redneck guy on the show, because mm-hmm. he's so good. And he was like, oh, he's a new kid. He's a really good actor. He comes from a line of wrestling. And I was mm-hmm. like, because I watched that, what was it called, this... the champion. What?
WrestleMania?
WrestleMania. Yeah.
Two girls, one cup.
Yeah. I watched that with the guys. I started watching it more because Nick, I wanted to like see his shows or
abs.
Whatever. Yeah, that too. He works in his underwear. He's a very popular person. And so, so I started one. I was like, I just
start working in your underwear.
I was like captivated by like this guy because he was such a good actor.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He's better than most actors. Mm-hmm. He just so happens. And the other thing that's cool about him, Teebe, is that he doesn't have the wrestling body at all.
No.
He's not muscular. He's not chiseled whatsoever.
No. Mm-hmm. He's got long hair.
Schlubby.
He's greasy.
Schlubby. Yeah. Schlubby. Wears his shirt the whole time. Just wears normal, like, white leather pants.
Like fat guys at the beach.
Yeah, right. Fat guys at the beach, totally. Like a schlubby muscle shirt, but he can do anything. Just a fucking stand, like Matrix shit that you can't see people that look like athletes doing, like, triple backflips and walking backwards like a spider. Uh-huh. It's crazy stuff. It's amazing. Yeah. So that's something that's actually like a short clip of that sometime would be worth you checking out.
Will do.
But now that you're 14 days sober, it'd probably be pretty boring and just frustrating too.
Oh, you'd be surprised how easily entertained I am. You got to be hammered to watch this guy wrestle?
I sort of do.
Well, I'm imagining you got to be hammered to watch anything.
Funny.
Yeah, that's true.
To alcohol!
I make Nick send me pictures of his wrestling gear all the time. No. We're just friends. I don't want to see any of that stuff.
Yeah. What if he sent you a dick pic? Would it be end of your friendship?
No.
Does it depend on the dick pic?
I would probably not even think that was his. I would think that he was just joking.
Especially if it was black.
Yeah.
Like, how is it possible you have a black dick?
Yeah.
Makes no sense whatsoever.
We send each other pictures of, like, we send each other animal videos, like stupid animal videos, and then, like, whatever. We just send silly Snapchats of us drinking or on planes and stuff.
Sarah hangs out in texts every day with the Intercontinental Champion. Now, let me remind you that we all know what that is. And there's in no other sport is there an Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
Right.
She's just buddies with a guy with a belt that's completely
She does that all the time with everything, though. I bring up my fucking future husband, Blake Griffin. And she's like, oh, yeah, he threw me around the other day. Oh, no. We went and had tacos, weird. Everything was cool.
When I was, like, practicing for the Ralphie May roast, Nick was helping me. And we would, like, we Skype with each other a lot just to whenever I need to run jokes. Because he's so funny. He's probably one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Dolph Ziggler.
Sitting right here.
And so, so I would make him put the belt on while I was telling my jokes so that I would have a better sense of humor and then, like, could, like, spur. And, like, because the more I can make fun of him, the more I can think of jokes to,
is
like,
it heavy?
Make fun of.
It's heavy and nice, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
Wear it. I didn't hold it.
Oh, you didn't touch it?
No, we were Skyping.
Are we still talking about his dick?
I would make him put it on and then show it to me. And that was also, like, when they lost his luggage, I guess.
Did you wrap? So you've never wrapped it around your waist all the way to a complete... Are we talking about his dick?
I think so. I think so.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No.
So you Skyped with the belt, and he was wearing the belt.
I make him wear the belt, yeah.
And nothing
I
else.
Would, too. I mean, anytime you're Skyping with someone that has a belt.
I don't think he ever does wear it with anything else. I think he honestly probably wears it around his hotel room a few times.
I would, I had any kind of belt whatsoever, I would wear it while I beat off.
Yeah. But that's what made me.
And I would call that polishing the belt.
But because he was wearing that belt, it made me think of the Robin Williams belt line when I made fun of Robin.
Around
May.
His neck?
No, I was saying that, like, Ralphie May will never go out like Robin Williams because if there's one thing you don't have at your house, it's a belt.
That's funny.
And that was because Nick was wearing the belt, and it started making me think of a belt.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So.
Did I tell you guys about the I know I didn't tell you because you were out of town. Did you hear about that drunk chick at the store on Thursday? That, like, went fucking it's the – we've been there for all of us more than a decade.
Yes.
This might be the craziest thing I've seen happen there.
No.
What happened?
It's up there. I'm there with a buddy of mine another English friend of mine who literally has never been there. I don't know him that well, but he's like, oh, you're – and I was like, yeah, come. You can come watch my spot or whatever. So we show up Thursday. I literally am leaving right after my spot to go to La Jolla. Sam's picking me up at the store and we're going because he had to do radio in the morning. This crazy girl who if she didn't look like she just got raped by a tornado – She would be probably attractive. She has like a sports bra on and like kind of like yoga pants kind of, but like it was like go out-ish kind of things. But she was definitely dressed like, I don't want to say slutty, but
quite revealing, staggers over to me at 9 p.m., right? It's super early. She is world-class drunk. Let me have a cigarette. And I do that thing, like, if I know if I give her a cigarette, she's going to be, like, standing in front of me the whole time. So I'm like, sorry, I don't have any. I bummed it. She looks at my buddy, whose cigarettes are sitting, like, on the ledge. We're kind of by the bar. Reaches over him, just grabs his cigarettes, opens them up upside down, and they all fall on the fucking floor, a brand new pack. She just picks one off the floor, puts it in her mouth backwards, and walks away. She goes, oh, and I'm like, ooh. And he's like, do you know her? I'm like, no. And it's me and him and Boone Chocolock are sitting there. And she walks up, and Boone goes, are you a tranny? She loved that. She goes over and, like, is talking to some crazy girl, a normal girl who's wearing, like, a kind of like a beanie hat, just, like, takes her hat off of her head, knocks her purse over. So this girl, like, okay, I'm out of here. She goes in the show. With a lit cigarette, this lunatic tries to walk into the OR. And now I'm like, I got to watch this. I'm watching this bitch, like, with intensity.
And I can't believe you didn't record it.
She had I known what was about to unfold, she then comes, like, goes up in the showroom. Whoever's in there is like, uh-uh. No, you're not smoking. You got to get out of here. So she comes staggering down the stairs. She's standing there, and it has that look of, like, timber! Fall straight forward and, like, right into one of the tables. Mervis and Argus Hamilton catch her.
Wow.
And, you know, Argus, he's like, I've been there before. You know what I mean? Like, he's like that kind of shit. So they're holding her up, and I'm like, you know,
Is Argus Eric Carter's grandpa?
Probably. So I'm, you know, I've already seen her. They don't know. I've already had a five-minute interaction with this lunatic. So I'm like, get Adam, get Terrence. Somebody's like, she's fucked up. And they don't know how fucked up she is. I don't know if she was on. She was definitely hammered. And when I asked her, I'm like, hey, where have you been that you're this fucked up? Her answer was, I gotta get back to Vegas. I'm like, you have to get back. So you have a five-hour drive. Oh, I hope you're driving. So she then passes out again, and they lay her on the ground, like on the front patio. And I'm like, oh, shit. So they call an ambulance. Mervis calls an ambulance or whatever because she's completely out. She then sits up, pulls her pants to her knees.
No.
Pussy and ass totally out and just starts pissing everywhere.
Where is this at?
In the front patio.
On the front patio?
Everybody's watching a stream of piss shoot out of this woman.
Where's it landing? Where's the pee landing?
Like, at her fucking ankles.
Which is at the middle of the patio?
Yep.
Like, in between
the
entrance?
You know the circle part where you enter and then it's like, she's right there.
Oh, my God.
Right there. So
how
people
did
are,
I miss this?
Walking by and everyone's like, and it's just like, a stream of piss is just rolling onto the sunset sidewalk. And the best part is, while she's laying on her back, Mervis said that she goes, I'm so embarrassed. Then she sits up, pulls her pants down, and just pisses everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you thought you were embarrassed before.
See, this is what's crazy is I wasn't there for that. And people always ask me.
9 o'clock Thursday.
People always ask me, Tony, why do you go to the Comedy Store every night? And that's a night that I took off. Or either that or I came, you know, late. But I think I wasn't there.
And you fool!
That's why I go to the Comedy Store every night.
Yep.
Is because.
Yeah. Some shit like that.
I missed that. Yep. That's what I missed.
Yep. Same thing. Like, you know, I've been going there a lot lately, but. Then one of the nights I missed was Adam getting in a fight with Big Mike.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did I miss?
Did
you see it? You saw it, too?
I was there for the beginning of it, and then I left right before they started fighting.
Wow.
It was he pushed – Big Mike Mitchell pushed Ty Rivera.
Yep.
And then Ty said something to Adam, and then Adam banned him, and then Mike confronted him, and then all hell broke loose.
Oh, my God.
And for Adam to throw two punches at anybody is unbelievable.
Willie Hunter threw a Superman punch at some guy the other night. Superman punch.
I can see Willie getting drunk and having like an anger side. I've played in the basketball league against Willie, and he's a hothead. Unbeknownst to you, Willie has like a side where he can fucking snap.
Oh, yeah.
It was perfect. Some guy came up to him and was just like talking shit. Just some drunk kid. And Willie made a joke about his hair looking like a bad kid's haircut. And the kid goes, my dad's sick. And then Willie just saw the string, started plucking it. He just played this kid good. And then eventually to the point where, like, yep, this kid's going to punch Willie. And then, yeah, all hell broke loose.
He swung on Willie?
Yeah, yeah. He tried to, he took his, like, backpack off, threw, like, a beer on the ground, and was like, and I was in the middle of him trying to break it up. And then he ran around, pushed Willie. Willie got held back and was like, all right, I'm fine. And then once everyone turned around, Willie ran back and then fucking Superman punched him.
Wow. Yeah. What night was this?
This was Monday night, I want to say. No. Sunday night. I think it was Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
Willie this? Superman punched him while he was getting held back. Like, the other guy.
So did Adam.
Well, yeah. There should be a thing there where at the Comedy Store, we don't hold back your actual friend. Hold back the D-bag.
Yes.
Everybody, it should be universal. It drives me crazy when I see people, oh, I'm just grabbing my friend just to protect him. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You got to fucking either get out of the way or hold back the outsider.
Hold back the fuckhead. Yeah.
The outsider, always.
Right.
People end up fucking up. No, man, I'm going to protect you. I don't want you to get in trouble with management here or anything. It's like, what? There's always tomorrow.
There's no such thing. Yeah.
There's always tomorrow. And you know, I've seen it happen so many times where somebody tries to be a fucking hero, hold back their buddy, and then their buddy gets clocked because their arms are being held back.
What kind of guy was it that was fighting Willie?
It was some
douchebag white kid?
Yeah, some douchebag white kid with a gold chain. It was the worst.
Oh, like wigger guy?
Yeah. Like, he looked like the...
Like poser guy?
Lead singer of Macklemore.
Was he an oil wigger?
Not two shabs. Not two shabs. Let's go, Andy, with from Mount Pleasant, who wants to talk shit to me and Tiana, I assume, because it says Detroit Lions. Andy, what's up?
How's it going, man?
What's a word, bird?
Wait, we can't hear you. You need to get a real phone, not a burner, you murderer.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. We can hear you. Are
next
you there?
Is Detroit?
What's that?
About that line on Sunday.
I mean, you beat us. That's not anything to brag about. Everybody's beat us except for Tampa and the Aints.
What'd you think about that field goal at the end? How we won off the delay a game call after we missed.
No,
didn't make sense.
I mean, if you watch the replay of it, it actually technically wasn't a delay of game. That huge touchdown that Stafford threw. I initially thought that he was over the line of scrimmage, and then after watching the replay, he barely wasn't. I mean, dude, Atlanta's just, we have no offensive line. Our defense is just pure fucking toilet paper.
We're depleted. And the only chance we had of beating you guys was with everybody out of the game. I mean, for Nick Fairley to go down, I was like, oh my God, like now we even have an even better chance.
I know. Fairley gone, Megatron gone, Reggie Bush gone, and we still lost. I mean,
every single time. Detroit has three tight ends, and all three of them are hurt.
Yeah.
And we still couldn't beat him. So we don't deserve to win if we can't do that.
It was like if Lions...
Because we had frat boy Matt standing in the backfield for us.
Yeah. You're a huge Lions fan, I assume?
Oh, yeah. I love the Lions.
Do you have any shot at winning the Central?
No. This is our year. This is our year. This just shows... Look at our team right now. How many people we have injured and we're still doing so well. It just shows the depth in our roster.
It is good. I mean, I like the Lions are like my just because I love Matthew Stafford. Like, if you call my phone, it says you've reached Sarah Tiana and Matthew Stafford. Please leave a message. So I'm a huge Matthew Stafford fan, and it was tough for me to get beat by him. But they are
you
good.
Should, have you ever seen that picture of like on Twitter they have those drunk athletes photos? They have one of Matt Stafford with just some absolute rocket, and he's holding up a keg over top of his head.
It's really good. Can you can you describe more pictures for us? It's really entertaining.
You fucking... I don't know.
Where's Mount Pleasant? What is that, Michigan?
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's Central Michigan University. I called you guys last week. Told you I was going to Michigan State for the Michigan State University.
Yeah, how was that game?
Oh, my God. It was so sick. I didn't even watch the game at all. Did some cocaine this weekend. That was fun.
That
was the second time I've ever done that, so it was a good time.
Oh, this is going to be good. Second time in your life you ever did cocaine was this weekend.
Yep.
And how'd that go?
It was fun. I mean, I don't know. I blow Adderall all the time, though. So, like,
you blow Adderall?
It was like a better version of that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's the illegal version of Adderall. Tripoli's got this theory. Sam has this theory that the next thing that they should legalize is cocaine. I'm like, you know you're legalizing bank robbery if you do that.
I love cocaine!
Next they legalize cocaine. Oh my God, Tripoli.
Wow, why in the fuck would anybody legalize cocaine?
Oh. So Tripoli won't get arrested for it.
That's the only reason.
That's why he doesn't want. Jeez.
Who did you do coke with, bro? Other than like three complete whores who left as soon as it was gone.
No, it was two of my buddies back from high school were up there. I go to school with them up here. They've done it before, so they were like, yo, dude, follow me. And I'm like, all right, like, what could possibly go wrong? Next thing I know, I'm blowing cocaine off of a mini fridge in my friend's room.
Yeah. Oh, anytime, that's very weird that, like, a guy goes, hey, man, follow me into the bathroom. And you're like, nothing could go wrong here.
Yeah, like, what could possibly happen?
Right.
So what did you end up doing afterwards? What did you do?
Besides talking for three straight hours about a screenplay you're never going to write.
We did that, and then pretty much from there, we just went straight down there, and it was like, just who can drink the most and not die, which I did okay at that.
I'm sure.
I didn't win. And then we just went out to a couple different parties. I went and met a couple different people. I went out to this place on Grove Street, saw a bunch of people I hadn't seen since high school, like 4 years ago, so... It was just pretty fun. I got a good night. I got nothing like that.
Jeez,
really
man. I wish I had some cocaine to wake me up from that shit story, Andy.
I went to the library.
Boring, everybody. Walmart, looked around in the automotive department.
Read a couple Encyclopedia Brown books.
Quit
boring, everyone.
Reminisced with some friends from about 3 to 4 years ago. I went down to Grove Street here in Mount Pleasant.
That's a typical like college kid doing coke. Cut to like 15 years later in your life. You're like, I just fucking banged three hookers, and then I... stole a car, you know,
decided
typical
to buy
product.
A house in Vegas.
I know.
Changed my life.
Chartered a flight, ruined my credit.
Yeah, hey, this is why Tripoli says that they should legalize cocaine. It just really gets you on the right path.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Really gets you doing the right thing.
I doubt that. You know, by the way, last week you called, we were talking, it's Central you're at, right?
Yeah.
You know 2 weeks ago who you lost to. A little school called Ball State University, my friend. Thank you very much. Three best years of my life were my sophomore year at Ball State.
So you're a Spartan, not a Wolverine, is that
he
correct?
Fun.
No. No, he's at Central Michigan, which is a MAC conference, which is where I went to college. I went to Ball State. Yeah. And he was bragging about them winning that, but they just lost to us.
You guys used to play Youngstown State, the Penguins.
Sure did. Back in the day. Before the Mac totally blew up.
Wow. I got a big rivalry game this weekend, so I'm like really nervous.
What's that?
Georgia, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, that's a win.
That's an easy one.
Florida's
but
ass
like
paper.
But just like you said, like even though we're better, because it's a rivalry, it's a harder game. Because there's too much emotion involved. You
did
know?
You go to a lot of Georgia football games?
I've never been to one.
Get out of town. That shocks me.
I know. When I went to school there... I was working on the weekends at Six Flags, and I had to leave at, like, Friday afternoon to work
what
all weekend.
What did you do at Six Flags?
I was a performer.
Get out of town.
A singer and a dancer in the kids' shows.
Do you have any videos of this?
No.
Can you do a little bit of something right now that you used to do? Just go right into it.
I don't remember. No.
So you were one of those things where it's, like, every hour you would do a show with a bunch of other people?
Yeah.
And...
There's, like, four or five of us in the show, and... That year, when I was at Georgia, I was in a show called the Bugs Bunny World Games, and it was like a game show for little kids, and yeah.
So little kids would come up, and you, yeah,
I wore
a
referee outfit.
And you would just, and little kids would answer trivia questions or some shit?
Well, we had a few games. One of them was like this shaving game where we put silly string on a balloon, and they had to like shave it off without popping the balloon.
Uh-huh. Sure, give kids straight razors. That sounds good.
I don't remember the other game. It was like me and another guy who hosted, and we did a little song and dance at the beginning. I don't remember. I mean, that was like 1996.
Right.
So then there were Marvin the Martian, Bugs Bunny, and Daffy Duck. My best friend Gina was the DJ, but she really controlled all their voices. And I was like super cheesy, like, you don't want to eat Daffy. He's too tough.
Wow.
Stuff like that.
And how old were the kids that were coming in there? Like 30?
Yeah. Like 5 and 6, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your best friend Gina up to these days?
She had a baby, and we don't talk anymore. But she ended up marrying a friend of mine from high school. I introduced them, and he went to Georgia, too. And then she introduced me to my first boyfriend, this guy named Doug, and yeah. So we all palled around forever. But
your first boyfriend wasn't until you were in college?
Yeah, my first, like, real, real boyfriend.
What is
yeah.
it with you and Ari, man? Ari didn't get laid till, like, last week.
No.
Ari was a virgin till he was, like, 22, I think.
No, I mean, really? I had lost yeah. my virginity in high school. I always had someone that I was
excluding
dating.
Excluding rape.
I actually had, like, kind of a boyfriend, but he was, like, I always dated younger guys when I was in high school. Once I my senior year, because I didn't like anybody. Everyone's so boring. And then, yeah, I had this guy, this kid, Brent, who was, like, on the baseball team, and he was a sophomore when I was a senior. So I dated him for a few months. But then I met Doug when I was in college, and it was kind of over.
What's up with Doug?
Doug is married with kids, and, you know, he's, like, super involved in – he was a police officer or something. He was in, like, Army ROTC when I was in college, so – And he was a security guard at Six Flags, and that's how I met him.
Right. Wow.
I didn't like him. And my friend was like, you have to go out with him. I was like, ugh, he's so ugly. Like, no. And then we had a double date, and I had to ride in the car with him, and he had this, like, shitty, like, little Nissan Sentra. And I was told my friend, I was like, you have to, like, you know, we're leaving after the dinner. I'll just go to the dinner, and then I'm riding home with you. And then I fell in love with him in, like, 5 minutes. In the
How?
Car.
Why? What did he do?
He just was, like, charming, made me laugh, and then I just, like, completely relaxed about it, and then I just found him super funny, and it made me really attracted to him, and then, yeah, he became, like, the most gorgeous person
hey,
I'd ever
Sarah,
seen.
Hey, Sarah, it's me. I'm back. It's good to see you again, baby. You know, thanks for calling me charming.
That was the closest I've ever been to getting married.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Nailed it.
But then I,
That was great.
I dumped him. Wait.
So you almost married this guy. So yeah. How long did you date? Like 3 weeks.
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
You were dating him all the way up until you moved here?
Yeah, we broke up my senior year in college.
Closer than Cater to getting married.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What was his name?
His name is Doug Gassett. Or is. He's still alive.
Name you always do that. You always talk about your exes like they're dead, though. Man, yeah. Stacy, miss her. Sure wish she didn't die.
We talked over email like a year ago because I was coming to Atlanta and I invited him and his wife to a show. But they're like super – he was like super involved with his church and it was like – and I just saw my life going in a different direction. Like I wasn't going to be able to – he wasn't very supportive of the acting mm-hmm. stuff. And then I broke up with him before I went to Paris. And –
Fucking Europe, man. Europe always does it, man.
Yeah. Typical going to Paris.
I'm going
to
go backpack around Europe. You can go fuck yourself, idiot.
Funny. It is weird, though, that like I like almost broke up with him because he was like dedicated to the military and the church. And like now that seems to be like what I fall for again and again.
Right. Whether they're real or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I just had another military guy call me to tell me he had a girlfriend when we hooked up.
Really?
Yeah, he just wanted to tell me.
Just to like, because he like had one of those like, what's that movie? Not fucking, what's that Cusack movie where he goes back and like tries to figure everything out with all his exes with the Jack Black in it?
High Fidelity?
High Fidelity, yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming that he's like about to get married and needed to clear his conscience. And I was like, well, does your girlfriend know?
Right.
Because I knew that he had a girlfriend now because we still talk.
But
I didn't know he had a girlfriend then, you know. We made plans to see each other for, like, months after we met in Washington, D.C., and then it just kind of, like, fell apart, and I was like, whatever, and then...
I don't know what it is about me, but I've had 3 exes
mm-hmm.
right after we broke up die of full-blown AIDS. I can't get a break.
You're a liar.
I cannot get a break.
That's what happens.
Tony, do you keep up with all your exes?
No, you know, there's only one that I consider a true ex. And
what's his story?
He is now his name's Doug,
and he plays Daffy Duck at Six Flags.
No, my high school sweetheart is still alive, and she now dates one of my old best friends who doesn't talk to me anymore because he feels weird about it because he's dating. The ex, So, like, it's interesting.
So they're both still in your hometown?
Actually, no. They just, you know, they moved to Hollywood a few years ago.
What?
California or Florida?
Scandal.
California.
Your ex lives out here with your ex-best friend.
Uh-huh.
You break up. They start dating. And then they move out here?
Uh-huh.
For what?
And they won't even come see me do stand-up.
Well, of course. Of course not.
Right. He works, he's a video camera operator. He's done some cool stuff for like Jackass. And
like
stuff
union,
like, that.
Like legit
yep.
one?
Super
okay.
legit.
Uh-huh.
And she's like a, I don't know, some kind of nutrition health, whatever, bobbity bob.
Yeah. She's a professional
shopper.
Idiot.
It's a crazy thing because I like, yeah. I really
he's
like
a cameraman
her.
And she's a heartbreaking cunt.
A filthy, filthy whore.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where, like, when I first got into stand-up and, you know, really all those years, it's like, I'm going to show her. Like, she was sort of the inspiration.
Sure, sure, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And it sort of sucks because she didn't really break my heart. Like, I was a dick and I was a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm. Find that
and
hard to believe.
I didn't realize. No, I mean, like, a real asshole.
No,
and
no.
And that's coming from me.
Say it ain't so. You mean you were awake?
and that was it. So like I was a bad person.
How long did you guys date?
Oh my god. Probably all together, probably about 5 or 6 years.
Damn, bro. Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And then
we lost our virginity to each other. We started dating in between 8th grade and freshman year, and we ended it after our freshman year of college.
Wow. So all of high school you guys are together.
Yeah.
This guy's just waiting to eat your scraps.
Yeah.
He's waiting for you to drop something off the table.
The whole time. And what's crazy is that we had one few month breakup. Like junior year of high school, and I remember specifically she made out with this guy, this friend of mine, really good friend, and it was the first time where I'm like, Jesus, buddy, I don't think that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't you make out with anybody but that one who I've been dating for 4 years? And so there was hints of it then. And then this fucking piece of shit took her.
So they and now they're out here.
Yeah. The and craziest part of it all is that he lived out here first. He moved out here.
And
they
you guys still
dating,
weren't fucking cool.
And I was hanging out with him, and we were cool. And I remember specifically telling him about 2 months after I started working at the store and was, like, way into stand-up every single night. I go, you know, I'm just going to do this thing.
Like, this is the timeline when you're with Esther? Or before that?
Before Esther.
Okay.
This is literally, like... 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, once I get this whole stand-up thing going and, you know, consistently working, I'm going to go back and get her.
Really?
And I told him this to his face, just me and him hanging out in his living room. I remember it like it's yesterday because,
wow.
Of course, I flashed back to it when I found out that.
And then when did they get together?
45
minutes after that.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
He's like, I'll be right back. I got to go. Oh, my mom's calling me. I'll be right back. Claire, we got to talk.
Yep.
Claire.
He's on to us.
That's pretty much it.
So how quickly after that conversation did they?
Literally, probably a couple months.
And then you haven't heard from him since then?
No.
What a guilty conscience this guy has, huh? And it doesn't bother you at all? Now, I assume that it doesn't, the relationship aspect of it, you're totally over her, but it's the principle of the bro code,
yep.
Of the, you've got to come to me first and be like, are we cool if this happens?
Because
if we're not, I respect that.
I specifically told him, and this was when he was with, I remember he had another girlfriend at the time that I told him, and I didn't. You know what I mean? Granted, it's 8 years ago, but, and I told him, while he had a girlfriend, I go, you know, I'm gonna get this comedy career thing going.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write. I'm gonna do stand up. Mm-hmm. I have the vision for it, and then I'm gonna go get her. And he's like, you know, wow, man, that's cool. Yeah,
right.
And then he was out of his relationship and with her very shortly.
You should hook up with his ex girlfriend, and then you guys should go double date and fucking Tiana's guy's fucking shitty Pinto or whatever the hell that was.
The Nissan Sentra.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just hook up at Tebow's place. Apparently, if you ask him to go to Starbucks for 3 hours,
you got Red Band Sam Tripoli for president. Bottom line,
it is. Yeah, you need that motivation though in stand up. Like I got out of a relationship and I started stand up shortly after, and I didn't realize, but like the loneliness of like being alone, but like also like the victory of like finally getting out of this terrible relationship, because it was
there is
like
something
really
very vindictive about stand-up comics.
No doubt.
There is something of like, yeah, I'm going to prove the world wrong and make it.
No doubt. Well, if it wasn't for me having the meanest teachers all through school, mm-hmm, and the ex that I, mm-hmm, thought was, you know, amazing that I wanted back at the time, I don't know if I'm in it. I think I might have a more stable thing where it's like I didn't have that much to prove.
But to
have fun and be successful in what seems to be like the biggest joke of careers, mm-hmm, it's like the ultimate
fuck you.
Goodbye, mm-hmm, to everybody. So
yeah,
there's no doubt that's what draws us to it.
Yeah.
Is you gotta have someone who you want, when they think of you, you want them to be like, fuck that.
Not unlike in sports, it's like bulletin board material. Mm-hmm. Like when somebody says, you can't do it, you can't make it, you're not funny, you're not talented, any kind of thing, it's like you hang that up in the locker room,
yeah,
just like any other sports team, and you go, I'm going to use this to, yeah, motivate myself,
yep,
and prove you wrong. And by the time you do all the work and you start reaping some of the benefits of just the simplicity of hard work, mm-hmm, you don't even care about that anymore.
That's right.
That's the funny thing about it.
Yep.
It's so funny. When I was my senior year in high school, I was student body president, and the guy the year before me, because you have to do the announcements when you're student body president, and he made them really funny. And he would read, you have to do a quote of the day at the end, and that was always kind of like a joke. And everybody loved this guy, Teddy Sutherland. Like, they were like, oh, yeah, he's so funny. And then the next year I win, and I'm going to do it, and I'm just like a super nerd, and I just want to get to AP English. And so I just like speed through them, and I don't make it. And everyone's like, Sarah, you're the worst president. You're so not funny. You're so not funny. And I'm like, who's laughing now?
Right.
I tell dick jokes for a living, and he works at a carpet mill.
Damn. Carpet mill.
Have fun at the carpet mill, fuckhead.
Yeah, even
Eric. Hey, I hope you're making carpet announcements, you dick.
Yeah. Even Eric Carter turned down a job at the carpet mill.
I know. That's true. Yeah, you can't bear a baby goat in carpet.
But puppy mills he loves.
Sure does. Who doesn't?
I am a puppy mill.
Well, I'll say this. Go Royals tonight.
Me too.
Falcons abandon, abort.
We
lose
have a
every
bye
game.
Week, so we're going to win this week because we don't play.
We're not going to win. We just can't lose.
You guys have a bye week every week by the looks of things.
Seems that way.
It's
a
bye week for other teams.
I'd like to be the first to congratulate the San Francisco Giants on winning the 2014 World Series.
We'll see how that goes. Tony, where are you going to be?
Kill Tony coming to Toronto, Canada. Check it out. That's going to be crazy. Tickets already selling. And Toronto, and I'm in New York City this week. I'm roasting the Iron Sheik on Thursday night, Halloween in New York City. And then Saturday, I'm at the Borgata with Jeff Ross in Atlantic City. But catch me at the Dark Comedy Festival all of the first week of November in Toronto. We're roasting Ron Jeremy one night, a live Kill Tony in a theater another night, and about 10 stand-up gigs in Toronto over a few
Gonna need a
stretch.
Pretty big spigot to roast Ron Jeremy, if you know what I'm talking about.
Fuck yeah, spigot or ticket. He's gonna get it bad.
Tiana, what about you, baby?
I don't really have anything. I'm like done for a little while, which is
good.
Nice.
So you'll be around. I'm
I'll be
you
around,
forever.
Yeah. So I'll be at the Comedy Store mostly, and then I also put my my dates on Twitter, so just follow me on Twitter, at Sarah Tiana.
I'll be at an AA meeting in 2.5 hours. That's another Punch Drunk. Consider it suck. Thank you guys very much. Caveman Coffee, Amazon, Bets DSI, and thanks everybody. Suck it. Happy birthday, Sam Tripoli.
Happy birthday.